and the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
You know something, sweetheart? Christmas is, well, it's about the best time of the whole year. You walk down the streets even for weeks before Christmas comes. And there's lights hanging up, green ones and red ones. Sometimes there's snow, and everybody's hustling someplace. But they don't hustle around Christmas time like they usually do. You know, they're a little more friendlier. They bump into you, they laugh, and they say, pardon me, and Merry Christmas. And especially when it gets real close to Christmas night. Everybody's walking home, you can hardly hear a sound. Bells are ringing, kids are singing, snow is coming down. And boy, what a pleasure it is to think that you got some place to go to. And the place that you're going to has somebody in it that you really love. Someone you're nuts about. Merry Christmas.
Hero Mark Biro once again on a Tuesday Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with you, the real stars of this program. And what a show we have for you today. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but what a show. I don't know about you, but anytime I'm on the air, I get very excited. Very excited. I don't know why you would, but and let's talk plainly here. When you do get excited about this show, there's nothing inappropriate about it, okay? So I just want you to know I thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our community radio station. And the listenership, beginning with you, is all important to us. Now, I opened with the Honeymooners, a scene from the Honeymooners. I think the name of the episode was in The Night Before Christmas or something like that. Anyway, it's one of my favorite heart-tugging moments. So I guess you know a little bit about me when you hear that program. The interesting point visually about that program is it's the only original Honeymooners episode where the actors step out of character at the end. As the scene closes, the curtains close in on the scene, and Jackie Gleason is giving Audrey Meadows a kiss as part of their characters, but you could tell by the time the kiss breaks up and Jackie Gleason extends his arm to stop the curtains from closing in on him, he reacts to the kiss that Audrey Meadows gave him, and she laughs because she really surprised him with it, you know? And it's a great moment, and of course, the other two actors come out, Art Carney and just like that, I forgot her name, Trixie. They came out, Joyce Randolph. And it's a moment that's, for me, it freezes because all those people are gone now. And what a joy they gave America during the time they were on the air. So Merry Christmas is appropriate from that show to you. And happy holidays to those of you that don't celebrate Christmas, but some other form of holiday cheer. And I extend my happy holidays to you. It's sad that during what should be the happiest moment for all of us during the holiday season, that we should have so many serious issues, and those issues concern morality. You know, an interpretation of what morality is all about. Not only in our politicians, but in ourselves, because we make decisions that put these politicians in office. And we're so partisan that we can't take a position neutrally and decide on that. Also, our inability to judge character in the way politicians are faced with these kind of accusations of sexual molestation or inappropriate behavior, so on and so forth. And for me, our politicians, when they boldly lie to us, and we, in our zeal to want to feel good and want something to change without caring how it will change, nor studying the issues, vote for people who in the end will hurt all of us. Case in point, picture if you will, this tax plan that's being passed by the Republican Congress. And let's not play games. This is a very partisan issue on something that you should not be partisan about. You should care about what the tax plan stands for. In essence, everything that's in this tax plan that this president, our president, Donald Trump, is supporting and wanting to pass is a complete reversal of everything he campaigned on. That isn't to say the Republican Party didn't campaign on it, because they did. The problem is, it's not passing the muster, the scrutiny of independent organizations. I mean, even the American public, without having to read the almost 500 pages of this thing, are 25% for it. That's what the latest polling, and we haven't even gotten in to the specificity. Now, it's fair to say that most of those 25%, they're not 1% of the Americans that are truly going to benefit from this. The other 24% may be a very small mixture of those that will benefit. But anyone who considers, because we could be making $10,000 a year, we consider ourselves middle class. That's not middle class. So anyone with a vested interest in their families will see this is total hogwash. Hogwash. But it passed, and you voted for it because you supported these people. You supported them. You still support them. And that's my point for today. My point is, who cares? Now, I don't want to be a pessimistic person, because really, I'm optimistic. But I've come optimistically to the conclusion that you really don't care. You're just for your guy. You're not for America. I saw an interesting bumper sticker the other day that I really want to get. It says, "Make America Great Again, Dump Trump." I wanted to catch up to this person that had this bumper sticker, not only to find out where he got it, but to ask him, well, why? I noticed that he had other stickers on his car that reflected a conservative outlook. And that's who I'm interested in talking to. I'd really like to know. And we're, you know, all these many months, I know I personally have attempted to do it, and our other talk shows in the news hours here, in the public affairs hours, have tried to examine whether you feel betrayal after this tax plan specifically. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I just don't get it. We have Judge Roy Moore running in Alabama. The election is going to be on Tuesday. And right now, he holds a 6% lead over the Democratic opponent. And it demonstrates to me it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But let me tell you why it matters. Because the Republican Party has really gone out of the way to falsely claim that they are the party of family values. They impeached a president for his lack of morality, and they all stood on the high moral ground. And many of these people, like Judge Roy Moore, use the Bible and their love of the Ten Commandments and their love of Christianity and what they say, they profess, the Bible says, and they make their whole careers on that hogwash. And yet, these pedophiles, like Judge Roy Moore, and let's face it, that's what he is. You're going to support him. I mean, after spending all this finger wagging at the other side about the lack of morality, you're going to support this guy. You just don't care. That's my theme. You just don't care. I'm sorry. I don't get it. You have the GOP giving you, that's the grand old pedophile party, giving you tax relief. To whom? You just don't care. So I want to know from you today, do you really care? I'm not interested. General Flynn goes before the FBI, and he admits to lying. But what was he lying for? What is the reason? He wanted Hillary locked up. He was part of that chant that a lot of you, many of you, joined. Lock her up. Lock her. How come I don't hear that fervency with regard from the supporters? I already know there's people that wanted to lock people up a long time ago for their partisan opinion. I'm just talking about you guys. You just don't care. It doesn't matter. So now I'm going to leave it to you. Here are the numbers. 813-239-9663. That's if you're calling from anywhere. I don't care if you're online. That's the number. 813-239-9663. If you want to send me an email, it's dj@wmnf.org. Most of the brave people that don't call this program like to email me, but I do write back to them. You know, it doesn't help with any kind of an exchange, but what the hell. Let's start off with Gary in Dunedin. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, welcome to you, Mark, and you're always on point, and I want to talk about the breakdown of morality and law that is shown by the reaction to Trump and his criminal gang. But before that, I just want everybody in your audience to know, I looked you up on YouTube and other places. You're actually, like, first of all, to put a face to the voice, like, when I saw you were this buff guy that was involved in the professional boxing and sporting industries. I mean, you have a very stellar history that goes with your voice, kind of, and very impressive. Very.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. I mean, you're a tough-looking guy, and, you know, I often listen to you and think, like you just said, that you wanted to talk to these conservative people with their bumper stickers, and like, I'm afraid of them. But a guy like you, maybe you're tough enough to take on anything other than a concealed carry. So I just wanted to say to people, Mark Biro is a hero. I used to wonder, why does Rob say that? But you are like up there with Oscar De La Hoya and the ring announcers and stuff like that. I mean, you were huge in the sporting industries.
Well, let me interrupt you to say, Gary, that most people, of course, that know me, I'm born and raised here. I'm very proud to be from Tampa and West Tampa particularly. Let me just say this. Anybody who really knows me knows I'm not a tough guy. I'm not. I mean, I'm in a tough business, wrestling and boxing and things like that.
Yeah.
But I always filled the kind of bookworm role that a ring announcer. Don't get me wrong. Where I was born and raised, you know, you couldn't walk away from a fight. But I can tell you right now that in my lifetime, if I had half a dozen fist fights in my life, that was a lot. And number two, I lost four of them probably. And so, you know, I'm not really a tough in terms of a fit. In fact, I'm sure that a lot of guys that I know me. The tough guys I hung around with, they were not anybody to be afraid of. I loved them like brothers, and I was always the kind of guy they looked after. But I won't walk away from a fight, and I would rather discuss something rather than fisticuffs. But I'm glad that you got the interpretation that you did from the photos and my work. But the truth is, I'm kind of a bookwormish kind of guy that has always gotten along because of his clownish antics.
Now, that's very modest and humble of you. Now, let's go to Trump. It's obvious to everybody, including his supporters, that he's a gangster. He's always been a gangster. He's been in bed with the mob. He's bragged about breaking all the rules, not paying taxes, filing for bankruptcy, stiffing his contractors, grabbing women in a sexually assaultive way. His whole gang, including the GOP and the people he's appointed to agencies in the cabinet, are robbing us blind, destroying our environment like what he did in Utah yesterday to get rid of national monuments. His people are guilty of felonies. They're guilty of treason. And yet, here we are. There's no street protests like in the 1960s when we got rid of Nixon in the Vietnam War. There's no civil disobedience of any real strong, massive nature. There's no general strikes like you'd see in other countries where the government is 100% criminal. That's the moral failing that I see.
No objectivity. No objectivity.
You know, Americans just don't. I mean, this government is totally criminal. It's obviously criminal, but yet, other than the pundit class and those of us who care enough to listen to progressive, intelligent radio, here it is Christmas time, and most people I know are just like, oh, well, and they're going about their business while our country is being taken over by a fascist, right-wing kleptocracy. It's bizarre.
Well, you know, Gary, I'm going to tell you what my lesson in sort of tamping down my anger, not my disgust at people, and that was the 1972 election between George McGovern and Richard Nixon. I felt when you looked at a man like George McGovern, he was a war hero. He's a person that stood up for family farmers, for the prairie populism that made this country great. He came from a conservative state. He had a stellar personality with a great proper, what I call a proper Christian background. All of these things juxtapose to Richard Nixon. And while Richard Nixon was a brilliant person, there was no doubt that he was in love with power. He was in love with strong imagery, which is very attractive to the average American person. They love a tough guy, but the kind of guys that they end up admiring are the first ones to run away from a fight.
Yeah.
That's what I learned in 1972. And let's not forget, McGovern lost by a massive landslide. He got, I believe he got over 32 million voters, but it was a terrible, terrible, I think he only won two states or two places with electoral votes, Washington, D.C., and the state of Massachusetts. Outside of that, that was a big lesson to me. So when we look at Trump, we see that he fits this tough guy, what I call phony tough guy image. And I will say in conclusion that I've been in the same room with him as a ring announcer for boxing, for HBO, Showtime, and many other outlets, USA Network, ESPN, ESPN2. I've been in the same room with this guy. And I generally like the guy on one hand, but for the most part, I saw him as typical of a bigwig company guy that had an enormous ego and needed that ego to be stroked. And I have instinctively turned off by people like that. I was always polite. I did, and I actually had to tell him no to something. He wanted me to announce him at the arena at a certain time during the broadcast, and I told him, I can't do that, Mr. Trump. I can't do it. He goes, what do you mean? You work for me. I go, no, I don't. I work for the network. Now, if you could tell the network this is what you want, I will do it. But I get my license from the state of New Jersey at that time, and I work for the network, and I can't do it. The only time I ever told no to a big wig legend was Joe DiMaggio, and I'll never forget it. It was at the Roberto Duran, Hector Macho Camacho fight at, coincidentally, the Trump Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
And Joe DiMaggio had somebody come to me and give me an introduction that he wanted at the arena, which in the introduction, I would refer to him as the greatest living baseball player of all. And I told him, I can't do that. I'll do an introduction, and I'll make it, you know, the way I think it's appropriate, and give him his kudos. And boy, his henchmen were telling me, hey, he's not going to be happy with this. I go, well, I'm sorry. I'm doing it with all due respect to him. I am not going to refer. Well, they announce him that way at the ballparks. That's their business. My business is my personal credibility, and I started to name four or five ballplayers that I thought was better than him. And I said, and I wouldn't even say that about them because it's my opinion. And I wouldn't do that. And so when I gave them the introduction, they gave him a standing ovation. And later, when I went his way to check with him, he told me, thank you very much. That was very nice. And I go, thank you. That was it.
Well, Mark, thank you for being on MNF and for who you are. And Trump people, please, for the sake of the country, let's get rid of him. He's a bad guy.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for calling the program and for all the nice things you had to say. The money is on the way. All right. Let's talk to Bill in Homosassa. Hello, Bill.
Mark, how are you?
I didn't get you up, did I?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I had you on speaker. I want to get you off.
I see. Most people want to get me off, too. I understand.
That's a open can of worms now.
Yes, sir.
You know, have you ever met a guy that was running around like Trump does, and he stood up a lot of times when he should have shut up, and finally he stood up and somebody just broke that nose for that guy and tightened him up to where, you know, thereafter, he changed, you know, he wasn't that big mouth idiot anymore. He got an education. And I pray to God Bob Mueller does that to that bully. I'm telling you.
Well, he's throwing a series of jabs that are pretty effective right now.
Well, yeah, he is, because, listen, I thought at first the people who voted for Trump were all complete idiots. But it turns out I know a couple of prominent contractors really got the things going on for them. I haven't heard much out of them lately. They, you know.
Well, they should be the one that's most offended, since Trump really screwed a lot of contractors over his career. He's made a career out of it.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how any working person, really, I don't know any working person, anybody who goes to work for a living, how they could support a guy like that.
What, same reason they reelected Rick Scott. No, buddy, I think there's something must be in the water here lately, because, my word, look at Scott. What's he done for the working man?
Thanks a lot, Bill. I think those are good questions that we could continue to probe on, and we'd like to know your opinion. Does really anybody care about any of this? Ron and Lutz. Hello, Ronnie.
Oh, hi, Mark. Yeah, this tax plan they're trying to pass, to me, this is even worse than trying to repeal Obamacare. In fact, a Senate version, not the House version now, but a Senate version, would more or less do that by repealing the individual mandate. And like I was trying to explain to Senator Rubio's office the other day at 202-902-6630, is that what really scares me about this is what they're going to call phase two of a tax cut. In other words, how will we pay for this? What happens next year? We get hit by a bunch of hurricanes, Irma, Harvey, and Maria. Is there going to be money for FEMA assistance and the Food for Florida program? Or is Trump going to tell us, no, we gave it all to Microsoft and ExxonMobil, so next time you upgrade your software or fill up your tank, maybe it'll throw you a free roll of paper towels or toilet paper like Trump throwing souvenirs to the crowd.
Well, let me ask you, Ron, you talk to enough of your friends or people that you know. Do you see any of those individuals, whether they're supporters or not, do you see them caring really about it?
Well, like I was trying to, let me tell you, my Trump supporter pal now was so thrilled the other day that we're going to be getting cost of living increases, you know, with things like our Social Security, our VA disability checks. And like I was trying to explain to him, that is going to be one of the first things they're going to cut.
Yeah, that legislation doesn't have anything to do with that except to cut it.
Huh?
I said that legislation they just passed has nothing to do with that, the things that he loves. It's going to be cut.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, they're going to cut things like the Social Security,
sure,
cost of living increases, Medicaid, Medicare.
Right. I got it. You're right. I can't disagree with you because that's factual.
You wait, they're gone. Say, oh, we got a huge budget deficit.
So why do you think they don't care, Ronnie?
Huh?
Why do you think they don't care?
Well, I think what Trump did is he really took a bad economy, which we really haven't had an economic recovery, and he exploited people's fears about things. For example, getting immigrants, getting people to think that we're helping immigrants more than we're helping veterans.
I think that's a very good point.
When we're really helping the wealthy, the rich, and the powerful more than we're helping anybody else. But they think, they'll help create jobs and stuff like that when really there's nothing that at will.
Thank you, Ron. I think you've said it quite well. You've hit all the points that I believe you've been very accurate on. Kevin in Bradenton, welcome to WMNF and the Midpoint Talk program with your hero, Mark Biro.
Hello, my hero. Hey, I want to just bring up one simple thing that hopefully we can all agree on, is that the Republicans must not care a whole lot about facts, because there's two things that come to mind. The facts about the trickle-down effects of the tax plan, I think that, a majority of economists would kind of agree that that's a false premise. And then number two, the way that they believe that, climate change is also another, hoax of some kind. Just those two things alone, it's not a lot, but, it just shows that facts don't matter to these people. And
why do you think it doesn't?
Well, because the thing that matters is them getting reelected, and what matters to them is the donor class, the people that help their,
finance their campaign.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about here.
But there's enough of people like you and me that are voting that way because of that campaign.
Well, and
why is that?
Because basically I think a lot of it has to do with the underfunding of education and how the internet has kind of spawned a whole new reality for people that can kind of keep themselves in a bubble, surrounded by people that are like-minded rather than actually engaging in, a true civic discourse. And, you know, the thing about facts, you know, the way that things are going now and, you know, the media is distrusted by most people. I mean, I'm sure, you know, a majority of the people now think that, you know, they can't trust anything unless it's something that they, you know, see online and they agree with. And I don't know. I just see that this is such a blatant. How come people can't see that they're going to cut Social Security and Medicare as soon as this thing blows a hole in the deficit? I don't understand why people can't see that myself. To me,
well, I've heard from those people, and most of them say, oh, that'll never happen. Or, you know, they got it now, but they don't see the erosion through their lack of understanding of how important it is for them to know something to be able to vote on something. They just, I don't know why that is. It's just, well, it's that's why I'm trying to get opinions. I think you hit it well when you said there are people that live in the bubble. They see on the internet things that they agree with. You know, I know people that put out posts that refer to the U.S. News Forum as a independent source of information for them. This is one of the most right-wing crazy quote news organization, so to speak, the U.S. News Forum. It's unbelievable, and they rely on it.
They also believe Trump. I think it was less than a month or a little over a month ago when he was asked about Social Security and Medicare being cut because the deficit before this tax plan was, you know, enormous. And he promised, he said, I mean, it's easy, you can just Google it and look, and he said he will not cut Social Security.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about, lies, you know, mistruths.
Right.
Thanks, well, Kevin. I appreciate the call. I really do, and I always enjoy the call and the banter. Let's talk to in Tampa, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Yeah, hey, Mark. Let me run something past you. And by the way, I was having a discussion with a mutual friend Friday about this same thing. He was, you know, getting all upset about Trump and, oh, Trump's this and that. And I was telling him,
well, stop talking to Danny. Stop talking to him.
Yes. And I was telling him that this needs to run its course just like it did in Germany. In other words, people are not going to turn against this whole conservative right-wing thing until things have gotten bad enough in this country.
Wow. I don't know, Stephen. I don't know about that
really
advice.
Want change, and I mean the average person who doesn't listen to talk radio and just listens to, you know, to heavy metal and doesn't care one way or the other about politics until they get squeezed, you know, hard enough, there's not going to be any change. And getting upset and angry in the meantime isn't going to do anything.
Wow, that's you're telling people to go through a hell of a lot. When you talk about letting things stand and comparing it to Germany and World War II, and oh boy, that's yeah. Look,
I'm afraid that's kind of how I see it. I mean, we flirted around with this stuff all through the 80s and 90s, Mark. I used to listen to the shortwave radio in the 90s and listen to all the stuff that Rob was talking about earlier today on this thing called Worldwide Christian Radio. I could listen to the National Alliance and Bo Greitz and William Cooper and the Montana Militia and all these people, the Michigan Militia.
Yeah.
And we've been floating around with this for 20 or 30 years, and now it's finally coming to, you know, the flower is blooming.
Well, you know? I can't disagree with you on that aspect, but I'm not disagreeing with, the only thing that I'm disagreeing with really is to let things, I mean, I think we have to, as the caller, the guest on Rob's show said, we need to expose it. We need to make an attempt to show what this is all about. And I can understand the frustration. Believe me, I go back further than that. As I said, in 1972 and our presidential election, to me, that's where it started for me. I'm pretty good about accepting now things as they are, but still revolting against it.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's fine. But I'm just saying you don't really have the numbers until things get bad enough in this country that the average person who doesn't care at all starts to care.
Well, you know, Stephen, I thought we had reached that point toward the second half of 2008 when the economy collapsed the way it did. That all of the GOP principles of economics proved to be just outrageously wrong. And I thought we had learned our lesson, but I don't know. My dad always used to say, my dad...
in the bottle enough, so they got people content enough to wear, but it will come one day, Mark, when things just get so bad that everybody's pretty much hungry and has no electricity and things are bad enough, and then you will see change.
All right, Stephen, I appreciate it. Quite a dismal outlook, but I understand where he's going. My father used to say, especially as we approach the end of the W. Bush administration, that this country may need another Great Depression so that they can be reminded of what it was like. And my dad instantly said, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And my dad was the last of eight children who was fatherless. His dad had died when he was six here in Ybor City. There was quite a struggle, as it was all over the world. But my dad wouldn't want that for anyone. God rest his soul, and I admire my dad's position because he worked hard. All right, it's Danny's turn. Let's go to Danny in Tampa.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Danny.
No, I was just simply telling Steve that, you know, hopefully it won't get to that point. But as far as I got to, you know, it's useless to get mad at Trump. I was just simply saying never, never stop, and we will never stop. I'll never stop, defying him. I'll never stop, trying to end up talking and about him and his fascist abuse and the damage that he can do.
Well, Danny, what about the guys that you meet? Why don't they care?
They don't care because like Steven's right, a lot of it. They just don't care because they think that they're going around their daily life, that nothing's going to happen. And for example, I know somebody's saying, this president's no different than any other president.
Wow.
I mean, you know, as far as conservative, you got to be kidding me, you know? Now, you know, I do like what you were telling that caller, Gary, about when you stood up to Trump and you said, well, you like him on one hand. I don't like him on any hand. But then basically you said that he's a phony tough guy. You're right. He's a coward is what he is. And for sure he's a coward. And last night, Billy Bush was on Stephen Colbert and saying that what they thought they were listening to was a big bloviator, you know, in the bus, you know, and they were all going along with it and just laughing because this big bloviator with his crass remarks, and for sure that was him, of course. And of course, Billy Bush is in need of a job again. So they were saying that. And let me tell you something. To say, Mark, that that the lawyer Dodd says that presidents could not obstruct justice. Right, Mark?
Yes.
Well, try to tell that to Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton.
Well, I mean, and the Republican Party that supported the opposite of that contention, which I do too.
But this is
the links. Look, they're coming across as it's okay to be a crook. It's okay to be dishonest. It's okay to not have any respect for, you know, certain institutions and what they should stand for. That's right. All good.
Well, that's very, very similar to the Nixon administration. And Trump is hunkering down. And by the way, they showed the clip last night, and you might have seen it, and you remember it, that David Frost, when he was interviewing Richard Nixon after the presidency, Richard Nixon said, well, it's not illegal when a president does it.
Right, right. And by the way,
David Frost was looking at it and went, okay.
I recommend that movie highly for people to watch Frost-Nixon or Nixon-Frost. I forgot.
Oh, that was
That's
terrific.
One of the greatest movies ever made on politics, a very real scenario.
Oh, fantastic, Mark. Let me leave you with this. Like I was telling Jan, don't try not to say Merry Christmas this year at all. Say Happy Holidays because Trump wants you to say Merry Christmas, and we must never, ever do what he says.
Well, I understand, Danny, but I can't do that. I don't do it because of him, believe me.
Well, good for
I
you,
could care less.
But I'll just go that far anyway to say it, that I won't do anything he says to do. I will disobey always.
All right, Danny, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Back and forth on there.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal. By definition.
Exactly.
There you go. That was David Frost with Richard Nixon. And, you know, I remember watching those interviews and being unimpressed with it until they got to the Watergate affair. That was incredible. What an incredible thing. Okay, Josh in Tampa.
Hi, how are you?
Real good, sir.
So I love the show. I just wanted to throw a couple things out there.
Go right ahead.
I feel like there's a couple things that we always talk about how the kids need to learn civics in school again and how important civics is. I think it's really a crime that everyone has kind of conflated big, powerful businesses with big, powerful government like they're the same thing. Sometimes they are.
Or when the president...
You know, but, you know, when you talk about corruption and when you talk about people benefiting from the system, politicians really don't get paid a whole lot of money. Maybe there's some sweetheart deals going on. Maybe some businessman has worked their way into higher offices like Trump, for example. But by and large, there's also a lot of good people who work in government, too. And the problem is that government is the only tool that we have to kind of, you know, prosecute people, hold people accountable. And so it's tragic because now you have this gentleman, Trump, if you can call him that, you know, harping on the Justice Department and, you know, belittling these legitimate institutions. And it makes it really, really hard to have any sense of justice achieved when you can't even, when the tool itself is being under attack. So the lack of civics is a problem. And also, one of my favorite classes in college was logic. I love logic. And the problem is I don't think that anybody is taught it much anymore. The Republicans are almost completely immune to illogical fallacies.
And critical thinking. And critical thinking in general.
Well, like, for example, the two quoque is a big one, right? Like,
yeah.
So, you know, the and you too. And so they're like, oh, well, Trump might have done all these illegal things, but what about Hillary, right? So
right.
You see the two quoque all the time. You see the ad hominem all the time. Well, that's just, you know, a thing a socialist would say, or the straw man, right? So, you know, they'll call someone a socialist whether they are or not, and so therefore, you know, it's bad. And, or the ad hominem, where it's like, well, that person's just a dummy, so you can't trust what they have to say. And so you can see these fallacies coming out, and none of them are challenged because I don't think anybody understands, you know, logic. Like, you know, it's just, and, you know, if you're going to have a fact-less argument, you at least have some logic involved in it. It's just...
Maybe we ought to get Mr. Spock to teach it.
Oh, goodness.
All right, Josh, I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate it, and you're absolutely right. As far as I'm concerned, the lack of critical thinking is immense. Here is Dr. Tommy in Clearwater. Dr. Tommy.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Real good. Glad you called.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't resist. I don't even know where to begin, but I'll just start where the spirit moves me. First of all, a little bit about me for those listeners of yours that obviously have no idea who I am. I'm a fellow West Hampton, and I learned at a very early age, being the son of a union organizer, about the power of the people and about the power of the common man and how the common man had been overlooked. And as a result, I pretty much spent my life trying to empower the common man. I developed employee assistance programs and got a PhD in psychology and tried to transform capitalism. You see how much success I've done there.
Well, but, I know the wall. I know the wall, Tommy.
You know me, and, you know, this whole notion of an absence of morality, you know, it's been a constant in American culture forever, and I really think that with the election of Trump, we've kind of crossed over into another one of your favorite old television shows, The Twilight Zone. We're in a separate Orwellian reality at this point.
Good way to put it.
The whole systematic desensitization and dumbing down of the culture is to the point where I no longer can tolerate the ongoing talk, and the absence of action. You know, morality is defined by the old axiom, actions speak louder than words. And the fact that we can deny the blatant, and I say this as a mental health professional, insanity of this president, that we can just simply turn the other cheek while he presents visual evidence of dysfunction from his first day in office, beginning with crowd size, and going on and on to that's not my voice on the tape. He is actually inviting us to deny our senses and to not believe what we see. The old axiom, seeing is believing, no longer applies. So in order to support this man, we have to no longer see or hear or feel anything. And I don't know how in fact, there's any hope at all for this country in that cultural context. So that's where I'm at. And just between you and me, buddy, I'm looking at Costa Rica and a possible place to move where there's education and health care and no military as an alternative to what we've got here.
I know you've been talking about that, Tommy, for a little while. So I know it's based on, again, logic and critical thinking. And
right.
I really appreciate you calling the show. I'm going to see you on Noche Buena. Logical.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
All righty. Thank you.
Logical. Thanks.
Since he mentioned the Twilight Zone, I remember the end of The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. Listen.
Do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men. For the record, prejudices can kill, and suspicion can destroy. And a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own. For the children, and the children yet unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone.
That's it. I think that about sums it up there. Rob and Lutz, go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, Feliz Navidad, senor.
Feliz Navidad, thank you.
Yeah, so listen, I do care today. That's your theme. I do care very much that you played that wonderful piece of Jackie Gleason. I was about 11 and 12 years old in New York City watching that live on our tiny little black and white TV. We didn't have one at home, so we had to go to my aunt's house to see the show on one of the first TVs that ever came out. And I just burst into tears when you played that back. It's so sincere from one of the greatest comedians of all time. And I just wanted to thank you and wish you the best of the holiday, sir.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it, and you have great taste. Yes, I mean, just listening to the program did that. No, but what he just said, the Honeymooners episode of Christmas is one of my favorites, and it brings me to tears on several levels of joy, actually. They're the actors. I loved them all. The story, which is a twist of The Gift of the Magi, and just the entire experience. I recommend it to anyone, especially if you have people that are teenagers. Could see what TV was really all about. Here is Ahmad in Tampa. Hello, Ahmad.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
Real good, sir.
Mark, I came to this country when I was 18 years old after finishing high school, went to college. I've been here for 34 years. Ran away from the same thing that I see happening in front of me, unfortunately. There is some truth to what the gentleman says you calls ago about Germany and the status quo.
Yes.
I'm afraid that, you know, we're making the gap wider by talking about this issue from party point of view. I'm not affiliated with anybody, with any party. I really appreciate the fact that you and Bob and Mitch Perry and many others on WMF, that talk about the issues without prejudice to party. This is very important at this time because I see it happening. You know, I've seen it in Syria. When I left, things went going from bad to worse, and now it's the worst. And instead of two parties, now there are so many factions, and the same thing, you know, in Germany, maybe. But I don't want to see it going bad. I have five kids that I'm raising here, and I would like to see the country stabilize, and I don't want to see this gap keeping going wider and wider. And I appreciate the tone that commentators and hosts like you use to calm down things around us.
Well, I appreciate the kudos, Ahmad, and I wish you and your family well, and you continue with that sentiment, because what you just expressed, in my opinion, is what being a true American is all about. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Jason, minus the Argonauts, in Land of Lakes. Hello, Jason.
I'm trying to find them Argonauts. They're still out to sea somewhere.
Okay.
No, I just want to remind people of the phrase, think globally, act locally. Our wonderful Pete Seeger, who is deceased now, but lived to, I believe, the age of 99.
Yes, always very
had
late.
Always had that on the edge of his tongue, and he was always trying to encourage people to act locally because this is where we can create the most positive change. You got to think about the entire world, but you can only act in your local sphere of influence in an effective fashion. I'm trying to do that myself. I'm trying to create a community farm on my property, and I'm actually getting a lot of positive feedback, and I think probably 2018 is the year it's really going to start to happen, you know?
Well, Jason, congratulations to you and that effort, and I salute you for it, sir.
All right, then I'm going to go on. You have a great day.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, when I was talking earlier about tough guys that run, okay, what comes to mind to me is a childhood friend I have, Joe Conte. He's actually called the program from Brooksville. See, to me, there was no tougher guy than Joe Conte. And yet, you couldn't find a kinder person, a person who exhibits, well, the Christmas spirit. Not just at Christmas time. He cares about other people. He doesn't go on spouting Bible verses in a phony way. He demonstrates his kindness for the underdog every day of the week. Now, if I see him in person, I'll kick his ass. But still, he's a great guy. And Joe, you know I love him, and I have to smile when I say that because there ain't no way, brother. No way I could ever do anything like that. Let's talk to Chris in Tampa. Chris.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Mark, I'd like to share an observation that ties directly into the dearth of critical thinking that you mentioned and also what Kevin had mentioned earlier about people living in a bubble.
Okay.
And that is this. With respect to the tax cut bill, I don't know if people have noticed this or not, but when Republican lawmakers, whether it's it could be Susan Collins or Mitch McConnell or one of the House members, when they're asked by someone such as Chuck Todd or Judy Woodruff to justify how the cuts are going to generate enough revenue to balance the budget and create all these new additional jobs, they always respond, even when the CBO study or the Joint Committee on Taxation study cited as showing there's no record of this, there's no analysis of this, and there's no historical record of this occurring, their responses always start off by saying, well, I believe or I think this will produce enough revenue to do it.
Right.
You know, so I think that's something that people really need to
pay attention to.
Right, exactly, because it appears as though what's happening is that they're relying on that lack of critical thinking that you mentioned, because people are living in their bubbles and and the information news is so widely dispersed today through these other sources that's unreliable or slanted, we should say, that they're relying on that by standing there talking with authority in their suits to tell us we believe this and in spite of what the evidence may show.
Well, I thought my caller, Dr. Tommy, addressed that very well, and I agree with you. Chris, thanks a lot for calling. Sorry, Richard, I couldn't get to you. Again, I ask everyone, please call in early, because we have a loaded board here all the time, and I'm very proud of that. I'll be answering the emails after the show. I want to thank all of you for joining in here at WMNF, for being supporters of 88.5. And I want to thank especially this time Jan Simpson, who is here. And I was glad to see her in the hallway and speak to her. She wasn't here last week, but she deserves kudos all the time. That's how good she is. Rob Lori is another issue. He's the producer of this program and did very well to find some of these audio things that I wanted expressed. And tomorrow, Midpoint, we'll have the great Super Nola. Nola will be here. Hope you enjoy him on Wednesdays as you enjoy the rest of our programming. By the way, go to the archives and listen to Sean's show yesterday. I just told him when I came in what a great program he had. Sean Conan on Monday and all of our other guys, Daniel Ruth and the hated Mitch Perry. Anyway, right after this program, coming right up, executive session. Wow. With my buddy, John Gilmore. And We hope that you enjoy yourselves the following days and hours by listening to us. I'll see you later. I'm on my way.
You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota.